Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey, Connecting the Light. I'm very pleased to welcome back today Sheldon Neidel, who, in my opinion, must be one of the best-known channelers of the Space Friends, in particular the Galactic Federation. He's been doing it now for quite a number of years, and I do enjoy talking to him. There's always plenty to say. Welcome to the program, Sheldon.
I'm glad to be on today, Mike.
Great. We're bound to have some new listeners, I think, so before we get into the real questions, would you like to tell them a little bit about your background and how you come to start?
Well, and I've been basically at this since I was a child. I grew up, I grew up on the ships. I had education from the time I was a very young kid on all different aspects of Earth history, science, etc. I was very scientifically oriented when I was in school, especially in high school, and I wound up starting out in college as a physics major and finished up in other sciences and social sciences, basically. And after I was out for quite a period of time, I went through all kinds of graduate programs. I got involved again in the projects that I was most interested in, which was Nikola Tesla and Tesla's inventions, and that led me back to my childhood interest, which was being with the Syrians, who were the main contacts that I had. So I have basically been in contact with the Syrians, and especially with my guide, Washta, again, since the late 1980s, and in 1994 I published my first book on the subject, which is simply called You Are Becoming a Galactic Human. And then, 94, that was a bestseller, and then I wound up creating the Planetary Activation Organization in 97 in Hawaii. And I've been in California since the middle part of this decade. And in the early part of this decade, I published my other two major books, which are Your First Contact in 2000 and Galactic Neighbors in 2005. So I hope that helps.
I'm sure it does, yes. And anybody familiar with your work has undoubtedly read some, if not all, of your books. Now, I've really found quite a few questions and topics just from reading again your messages for about the last month. In fact, it's in reading again that I realise how much information you contained in them. It's really quite remarkable. Over a long period of time, one can get the impression there's a lot of repetitive material. But I think of necessity, there is so much there. There are times when you have to remind people what you've said before. Now, the point I'm coming to is you often refer, or the Syrians do, to people they call our allies. So what I wanted to ask you was, who are these people? And if they are already on Earth, do they meet with the Galactic Federation?
Well, our Earth allies are basically three groups of people. They're first of all, the scions of various very wealthy families, some of whom were members of the Illuminati or Illuminati groups that control the planet. And they have been using their monies to provide funds to back up what was originally the funding unit, which, of course, is St. Germain's original World Trust, which is, of course, right now should have been matured already. The second group that we find in them are people who are associated with them, who have been members of the Illuminati groups, who are now, you might say, have seen the light and are associating themselves with them. And then the third basic group are those people who are just interested in creating a new reality and have very important positions on the planet of power and influence, who have joined together with them. So it's a coalition, an alliance. And as for meeting with the Galactic Federation, since 1998, what we have basically had here are two things. We've had the Agreement of 98, which is all about creating a new reality, a new banking system, a new monetary system, a whole new reality of how power is distributed on this planet. And our Earth allies have been working very hard with groups related to them and to all the different groups that they're made up of, and have been working very, very hard to finish off what we might call, at least they have me constantly call, their quiet revolution, a revolution to change the reality of this planet and create a whole new one based on prosperity, fairness, social responsibility, and a banking and monetary system that is tied into that whole system.
Right, that's wonderful. Do they actually know each other, or do they know of each other's existence?
Well, different groups know of each other, but mostly these groups have been working kind of independent of one another, and only when they need to, they know there are certain places or numbers to call in with special security equipment provided by the Federation that they utilize to then provide communications between one another. But except for that, they pretty much work on their own.
Right. Now, there is a feeling that the Illuminati mainly comprise of the big banking families, but do I hear you right? Did you intimate that indeed some of those people may actually be working for the light?
Some of them have changed sides, right?
Yes. Okay, I just wanted to clarify that. Now, you mentioned prosperity. What is your latest understanding regarding the position regarding the prosperity program? Because I think at one time, recently, you said it was ready to roll.
It was ready to roll, but unfortunately, the same old game has been going on, which is there are moles stuck in the system, which at a certain point seem to arise, either through greed or else through a general system of just how this system operates, and have put the skids on a lot of things. And so, or else it's just been some people who are in the system who are very arrogant, who have signed off on things and then have turned around and tried to stop things from happening. So it's close to happening. The last few parts of this whole delay part are just about done. And so hopefully, from all that I have heard, it should be relatively close to where we can actually not only get, I can say it's complete, but that the most important aspect of it, the delivery, is underway. We don't really have that part that far in the game yet. So I can't really say that besides delivery is going to be done independently, and so I wouldn't know about it till I got a little knock or ring on the door anyway. So that's
right.
As far as I can say about it.
Yes, fine. So now I'll interpret that as meaning that large amounts of money are being passed to people that are obviously trustworthy, presumably are the allies you speak about, and they
right.
will distribute this money, and I believe you refer to them as setting up a network to share what they have with each other.
Exactly. What they want more than anything is to spread the wealth around, to allow people to be as prosperous as they're capable of being, because everyone on this planet should have the resources, and the, whether financial or otherwise, to do what they need to do in their life. And one of the things they really want people to understand is that the purpose of this wealth or prosperity, whatever you want to call it, is that it is about two things. One, it's about people going for their joy, and two, it's about learning to cooperate with one another to create a way for people to have whatever they need that is truly a part of what their life cycle is about, not just stuff that isn't really important. What is vital is to do things that are important, and that's what this is really all about.
Right. Now, when you think of a big area like Africa, for example, where I think it's commonly accepted that a lot of financial help often goes astray, I can't help wondering how they would cope with the idea of distributing monies in a country like that. Would it mean that people would go there to oversee what they did with the money, or wouldn't you know that?
Well, a lot of these countries have movements in them that have stayed way below the radar because they've had to, whose job is at the proper moment to basically make sure that if this is a government that is totally uncooperative, that it gets replaced with one that is.
Yeah.
So the system is to provide a way not only for the international programs, which will be about debt forgiveness, but also a way to get the money delivered, and also for a way for the governments to be cooperative with those people so that we have a system where there's minimum amount or no corruption whatsoever,
yeah.
And that this then has a way with new resources to get rid of that problem, because a lot of it has to do financially with the need by many people to simply be able to survive. The thing in most of the third world is that the majority of people are living either at the subsistence level, just a little bit above it, or just a little bit below it. So yeah. Once you can get that basic survival mode done, the next thing that will happen is people will start likewise looking for what makes them joyous. What they really need and feel is important to them. And once that starts to happen, the way these societies are set up, these cultures within each of these societies will begin to change, because people will finally be willing to help one another and be willing to do it at a level that's above subsistence and at a level that helps to educate other people about the fact of what is happening and bring them into the system and have them understand what is going on. So what we have here is a massive educational system by people who are willing to use the time and the money, so to speak, to bring together people in their particular countries and change the basic way that this system operates, the society looks upon how it is created. And so that is a big part of what is going to happen here. That's why places like Africa and parts of Asia and South America and Central America, et cetera, the Caribbean, and also Oceania, are part of a system of massive change that is going to happen once all these things happen, because we're moving away with the change in the revolution, the quiet revolution that we're talking about, a system that is basically based upon power and monetary resources, to one that is based upon an entirely different concept, which is that it is based upon the simple concept of going for one's joy and knowing that the resources to create that are there.
Yes. Is there already a model in existence for the way that which these monies would be spent in each country according to the position they're in now, or are they left to define the way it's spent or used themselves?
Well, that's going to be defined by these societies and those people involved in what's the Quiet Revolution. So there's already been several conferences done in private where the amounts of monies and the debt that's going to be forgiven have been looked upon, and there's well over 150 countries that are part of this whole process of changing from where they are right now to being a system that is able to successfully move itself into the new reality, which means that they move away from what they were used to because of the very limited resources into a place where there's almost unlimited resources, and people are looking not at what they have to do to survive, but what they have to do to reach their joy, and then looking at how they can do it in a harmonious way. And that's the other part of the education system, which is very close to happening.
Well, that's great to hear that. I was going to ask you about the interaction of the Galactic Federation with the global governments, because I think you've already said that there is almost daily interactions with these governments as a preliminary to first contact. So what I wanted to ask you about that is it purely the allies that speak on behalf of the Galactic Federation, or do some of their representatives actually do it themselves?
Well, what happens is the Galactic Federation has set up a special diplomatic and liaison mission. And the purpose of this mission is twofold. One, to bring the Federation and everybody involved in major governments around this planet into a constant or almost daily interaction. And the other aspect is to bring those governments that are not as well known for power brokering or being very well involved with the process of how this world government operates, to bring them forward and help them to understand what's going in, and so they can help with the cooperation aspects of allowing for a new world to happen. Because it's not just the major governments in this world that are important, although they are a key right now. It's all the governments on this planet acting together in a new way to change how reactions between governments happen and to create a harmonious world in every region of this planet. So to answer your question, what is going on is the Federation has a mission. This mission is meeting with everybody. They've already given them restrictions about no nukes. They've given them an aspect of what is coming and how it's inevitable, and they are basically acting as a go-between between the Galactic Federation and the First Contact Team and these various governments.
Right. So will all this come under the umbrella of the UN, which the Galactic Federation have told us will be reviewed, or that is the UN Charter?
Right. What's one of the things that's going to be called for when all this starts to happen is that the UN has to be completely revamped and its basic way of doing things changed, because where the UN is right now, it's no more than an aspect of the various aluminoid multinational corporations and various major nations and the goals that a lot of the aluminoids have had about world takeover, creating this so-called New World Order that we've heard about again and again and again. So we have to move the UN from where it is right now to a whole renovation and change so that the process of how they operate is, as I said, altered as well, which means there will have to be a new general organizing convention and there will have to be a new charter written.
Right. Now, you've come to a point there, or reminded me of something which I have curiosity about. How would the Galactic Federation handle the big multinational companies when it comes to restructuring? Because I seem to recall from one of your earlier messages that you were talking of making them into much smaller, more manageable units.
Exactly. What needs to happen is the multinationals need to be brought down to where they are concerned mainly with one particular aspect, which is about social service. And so to do this, they're going to break them down into their various parts, divide them up, and allow them to operate with one another only through creating a purpose, which has to do with social responsibility.
Yeah.
And all these units and every aspect of them will, of course, be rechartered, reincorporated, with the whole concept about social responsibility and a direct defining of what the corporate mission of each company is.
Right. Now, in your last message, if I recall correctly, or the one prior to that, you mentioned using legal remedies to get rid of the dark forces, and you spoke of a physical ouster. Now, you didn't actually mention what that was, but would we be correct in assuming that that would come from pursuing impeachment against Bush and his friends?
Well, that would be one aspect of it. Right now, they're a highly illegal government. They've been twice elected illegally. They've performed who knows how many illegal acts against the U.S. Constitution and various other aspects of how the U.S. government was supposed to be organized. So the process that we have here is that this is an illegal government. It has done mad and crazy things based only upon greed and the need for the various people who are their handlers to get richer and richer. So the aspects that we have to look at is how to get rid of them. And the way they do that is by restoring common law and the basis of what is common law, which is the Constitution, and then from there getting rid of statute law and all the various aspects of how this giant government has created itself so that it can be reorganized back into an aspects that are able then to serve the people and then get rid of all the special interest problems that have happened in, for instance, in the Congress and the executive and the judicial aspects so that we can restore this country back to what it is meant to be, which is a constitutional democracy that is supposed to serve the people who are the citizens of this country, the United States. And a similar model has to be followed in practically just about every country on the planet.
Yes. I think what you're probably saying there is that there is a list about as long as your arm of all different claims against the dark forces. So impeachment is only one of them. But I have to say in passing that if I read the press reports correctly, it does seem that at last Nancy Pelosi might be bowing to the pressure to go ahead with impeachment.
Well, everything I've heard is she has definitely put her foot down with a no.
Actually, yeah.
As a matter of fact, one Republican on one of the judicial committee of the Congress, of the lower house, has basically made a joke about it and called this whole process impeachment-like.
Yeah. Oh well. Okay. I just got the impression that maybe she was being forced to make some inroads on that. Okay. Now, is it correct that first contact is the final action to complete the reality shift? Because what I'm bearing in mind here is that the Galactic Federation has said that our new reality has all of its multiple elements now at the point of manifestation. And I was a little surprised to read that apparently what is holding it up is the need to create our will to do so. I would have thought there was enough will there to desire these changes so they could go ahead. What is your comment on that?
Well, my basic comment on that would be divided once again into two parts. One, there is definitely a divine plan for this shift. It is in this basic time frame. And two, the Galactic Federation knows and realizes that, and what is happening now is the, you might call it the unscrewing, unhinging of the power resources of the Illuminoids, and once that is completed, the rest will all follow. They're, you might say, are the last fingers trying to hold the cracking dam together, and so far they have worked, but unfortunately the fissures are growing larger and bigger in the, in these particular dam that they're trying to stop from this great flood of new reality water, so to speak, coming in. And this new knowledge and wisdom will be here eventually and very shortly, but we can't give it a date, but what we can say is it's very, very close.
Yes, yes. Well, we're pleased to hear that. Now, you mentioned something in one of the messages that I don't understand, so I'd be glad to hear what it actually means. When you talk of fluid group management, what is that?
Okay, fluid group management is a system that is mainly used in galactic society, and it's based upon the following set of principles. First of all, they realize that every person is sovereign and has their own unique set of talents. And what they want is for every person to use their talents. And when you look at talents, you can see that talents are aligned according to certain basic similar strengths. Those people in a group who have the similar strengths are then allowed to lead the group because that's their expertise and their joy. And then the group as large works as a support team to help them create the way to solve a problem or to achieve a certain goal. And so it's called fluid because when you get to another problem or another goal, then those people in the group who are part of the process of creating their joy come forward, and then the group supports whatever's happening. So the management is fluid depending upon what is needed to be creatively solved and what particular goals at large are those that need to be achieved.
Yeah. Okay. I think we could do with a lot of that, couldn't we, to really get things moving even now. But I'm glad there is a system which is going to be put into being that sounds ideal. Now, there has been talk, obviously, for a long time of a new economic and financial system. Would that have to be imposed upon people to make it work?
Well, the new economic system is just a transitory system between where we are right now in a very strangely manipulated economic scarcity system to one that is based upon economic abundance, where the concept of manipulation is no longer there. So what they are looking at the new currency system and the new banking system as being is an interregnum, a period between the system we have now and the system that is the ideal one that everybody would really want. So this period of prosperity and of all this change we're talking about is an education system. It's about helping people to understand what's happening, how this change happened, what it means, and what it stands for and means and represents for the future. So what you have is a system, as I said, that's an interregnum. It's a period between one period, which is where we are right now, to one where we are going. So the procedure is to get us past this present system of economic scarcity where it's all manipulated and only a small amount of people have a great deal of wealth, while the majority of people either have a sufficient amount of wealth or wealth just to barely get by on or none at all, the majority being in the last two categories. So the result is we want to get everybody out of poverty, out of the so-called poverty mentality, out of the mentality of lack, and help to create a system which allows people to think beyond that, to think not in terms of prosperity per se, but in terms of their joy and what they wish to create, and realizing that resources are at hand that allows them to successfully create this and allows them to then successfully create their joy. And in doing that, they help bring the society forward by allowing their particular joys to solve basic problems in a creative fashion so that the society moves forward in a harmonic way. And in this great harmony, we're then allowed to interact with one another, respect one another, understand the nature of personal sovereignty, and understand that we are people who have various aspects that are strong in us, various other aspects that are not, and that the opposite is in other people, that our job is to support each other so that as a whole, we are an invincible, incredibly strong group that can solve just about anything as fast as humanly possible.
That's great, yeah. I love to hear you keep mentioning the word joy in the concept of sort of doing work. You reminded me of a book I'm reading at the moment, Messages from a Being Called Elias, and one little phrase he mentioned stuck in my mind, and it comes to mind now. He said, if it ain't fun, don't do it.
That's right.
I think that's a good concept, isn't it?
It is. It's a wonderful little phrase for what we're talking about here, because what people will move from is having to do something in order to survive or just maintain themselves to a level where they look at what really do they like doing, what really is the creative aspects within themselves that allows them to flow easily and reach a kind of an inner joy that allows them to just feel so good they can hardly believe it, and that's their normal state, moving away from that being an occasional thing to one where it's constant and it's something that you're daily involved in. And then as you use that joy, you begin to respect other people's joy and you support it. That's basically the basis and the reasoning behind how galactic societies operate.
Yes. And one thing for certain, if you are enjoying your work, you normally put your best effort into it, don't you?
Exactly, and that's what this is all about. You feel so joyous that sometimes you, if you're in a period where you're still sleeping a lot, you get up and you want to do it, and you go till you're tired. You just keep working at it, because to you it's not some task. It's what you are, and you want what you are to be expressed. And so this need to express it just leads you forward to how you can do it in new and creative ways. It allows you to be with other people who have a similar joy, and then you start working with each other, and the things that people in such a state are able to create is just unbelievable. This elixir of joy just seems to be imbibed by everybody, and they just totally do incredible things that are based upon how this creative energy just keeps flowing higher and higher.
Yes. I'm sure you must experience the same as I do. I get emails quite often from people who are just dying to contribute something to the changes that are coming up. So I think that's part of the joy. Now,
right.
Just looking back a bit to where I started this little part of the conversation about the new economic and financial systems, is there a concept involved in the new system that would allow for profit or people such as shareholders?
Well, the new system is going to start out with a concept of a partnership, and a partnership between the group creating a particular organization that has a certain mission or basic bylaws of what it wants to do and the society that it exists in. The idea is to move organizations away from the concept of profit only and what's the bottom line to a system where if there is a bottom line, the bottom line is there is a social responsibility to two peoples, the human race on this planet and planet Earth herself. And so you begin working deeply within concepts based upon those two groups, that you want to help humanity and you want to help planet Earth. And so this then becomes a whole different way of how business, quote-unquote, would be operating. It's entirely different from the way most multinationals operate. And it gets away from the concept of bottom lines, because what we're working for is not so much a profit system because of world prosperity, but it's a system based upon the need to bring forth something entirely different, which is a company that takes different concepts of joy and helps to bring them through various resources that it has access to bring them to the maximum level that can be brought to, not just now in a regional area, but in a planetary level. And that's really what I think corporations will be in the future, is transducers between local areas and the world at large.
You could almost imagine that if this went on long enough, you would reach a point where you wouldn't need money at all.
Right. Well, the underlying deal here is that everybody has prosperity. So the prospects then becomes, as you said, that as this prosperity grows, then people will see that really what's valuable are ideas and talents. And then you'll kind of get a feeling that this is more important than the whole concept that we've gone through for millennia about that money, hard cash, so to speak, is more important than ideas, except where those ideas help to make more of this hard cash. And so that will change, and they expect this to happen very quickly, that people will, once they're unencumbered from the whole process of this ridiculous way our society operates, based on the scarcity economics, that then the process can begin where people are freed from it and begin to see the need to develop something entirely different based, as I said, upon exchanges of talents and exchanges of ideas, and then it will change over to where ideas and talents become more important.
That's wonderful. Now, I'm going to take something out of your recent messages that I don't think I've heard you mention before, and that is of the existence of Galactic Federation medical teams, which you mentioned had begun to undertake monitoring procedures to make sure we are adjusting well what is being done for us. Now, can you explain a bit about that, what they're doing? And
what is happening here is the angelics, our various people involved, our spiritual people involved with us, who take care of our bodies almost every day, what they are doing is now doing what heaven wants, which is they're changing our DNA slowly but surely. They're activating various aspects of it. New chakras are coming in, and your body is beginning to change. So what the medical teams have been doing is working with them to bring forth a way that all this can happen as safely as possible. Sometimes people will get into a little bit of a health crisis, and so what they are trying to do is adjust it so that it doesn't get serious, because what we're dealing with is a massive change actually on our physical, mental, and emotional bodies. So this is something that can bring in emotional problems, it can bring in mental problems, and it can of course bring in most of all physical problems. So this is something that the Galactic Federation medical teams have been concentrating on a lot recently, because they want to make sure that as we get very close to the actual changes happening, that all of us are okay and are in a position where the various next set of changes can be made safely without any major difficulties.
Yes. You mentioned chakras there, and I know that the idea is to complete the emerging 13 chakra system of full consciousness. Now, will we achieve that before we ascend, or will it actually occur with ascension?
Well, that's part of the ascension process, is really creating the fully conscious beings. So actually, ascension is at the tail end of this whole procedure. Until then, they're just moving us towards then, and of course it'll be greatly accelerated once first contact is made, and then there's a open one-to-one contact points between the medical team and ourselves. So then it becomes much easier for them to do this. They've had to be a little bit, you might say, very, very much secretive about this, because the process is to do this until they reach the point of contact. And once contact happens, then the whole thing changes, and we then get into a much more aggressive series of changes before we go into the final process of this, which is the metamorphosis, which is where we actually finish up what is necessary for us to become fully conscious.
Right. Now, you did mention, getting back to the idea of healing centers,
right.
To use your phrase, you said they will pop up like mushrooms after a rainstorm. But have you any idea of what form they will take?
Well, what is happening here is that we know that as a people we are very creative people. And so what is expected is that as all this happens, especially with contact, that the whole shifting of where we are to where we need to be is just going to increase. But until then, there are a lot of people who are just waiting, as you say, with the emails, et cetera. I get a lot of those every day myself, who are just waiting for this process. And those that get some resources before the major shifting and the bringing out on a large scale of larger resources where everybody's prosperous are going to do whatever is necessary to help bring forth what they feel and their joy is important to give their contribution to this great change that's been going underway for decades now.
Yes. So I'm coming back to the healing centers again. After first contact, presumably they will exist. So logically, they would use all of the technology that the Galactic Federation had.
Right. Well, this technology will then really speed things up, because then it has the capabilities to allow us to change very, very fast. And so the way I look at it, it's this way. It's like we've been in first or second gear, and when contact happens, you suddenly zip up to fourth. It's going to be a little bit of a shock for people as how fast all of this is going to come about. So
Yeah. To
me, this whole process is that we go from where we were a few decades ago to where we are now, and suddenly with contact we then accelerate to unbelievable levels very, very fast. So to me, as they have said to me very, very many times and written in the updates, contact is actually a watershed between where we are now and where we're supposed to be at the end, in other words, fully conscious. So it is really, it's to me the final proof all over the place on this planet that we are basically people who are capable of things much greater than we may believe, and that we are about to meet our various space and spiritual families that are going to lead us the rest of the way to achieving those aspects that are necessary for us to become fully conscious.
Yes. Right. Another thing that you referred to in one of the messages, which was something new to me personally, what was meant by using the full moon and new moon cycles to create positive intentions and release them into our reality?
So what they're talking about there is we have general cycles of emotion and mental and physical response. And so as these cycles move upward, it allows for our reality to become more and more able to bring in more of what we truly are. So that's what we're talking about, is that this world has created a series of realities that lead up to the new reality, and that's what we're happening here with each one of our cycles. So all of us are cycling up in our own frequencies toward this new reality. And as we do so, we begin to go through periods of great change, and that's what all of us are going through right now. And so as we understand all of that, as we begin to be able to create within ourselves a system of change, it becomes much easier for us to then understand what's happening. And as we do that, we're able to move out and accept more and more things. So that's basically what we're talking about there.
Are you saying that in some manner we can use the energy that is created between those cycles to empower ourselves? I mean, I'm just curious to know where it fits in.
Right, that's exactly it. You've hit
it.
Right.
Okay, answered it in one. Right, now, another question that's puzzled me to some extent, and I'm sure you know the answers. You're doing very well at the moment, I must say. You speak, or the Galactic Federation do, of us as a star nation, and you say that we are to become physical angels. The question that arose in my mind was, does that mean that everybody here are all physical angels? And also, are all star nations angels?
Right. Star nations that we have in the Federation are either becoming physical angels, because they lack those that were in the dark side that now became part of the Federation, are finding how to create a light body, and they're becoming star nations that are like we're talking about here, galactic societies in their own right, or else they're already there, like the Sirians, the Pleiadians, etc. So what we have here is groups that are evolving within their own star nation, and those that are star nations that have reached those levels as well. And we have the potential, since that's what we were, fully conscious beings, physical angels, to get back into our process of of how we reacted to one another and created our own galactic society, and that naturally will create a star nation for ourselves within the solar system. Because we'll be able to reform, or as they'd like to say, terraform Venus and Mars and recreate the great water planet that existed between Mars and Jupiter. You can call it what you want. Some people, I think, could call it, I forgot the name that they used with using the Syrian, not the Syrians, but the Sumerian one. I think it's, I can't think of the name, but Bellona, which is the one they like to use, which is the Roman goddess of war, is the one that they like to use.
Yeah,
and so
yeah.
We'll have these four straight water planets, and they'll actually be the key aspect of this new star nation.
Right. I think a lot of people wouldn't have guessed that, from what we know about the space people, that they were in reality angels, because I think we have this perhaps rather religious image of a being wearing a white robe and long hair, I guess, and possibly a pair of wings. So that's interesting, I find.
Now, right, and you'll find it.
Sorry, carry on.
So, what happens is there are all different concepts. Like in the, a lot of angels in Asia don't have wings. So we just have to understand that as we look at the different concepts of what angels are from, let's say, Asia or the West, it changes a little bit. But basically, that's what we are meant to be. And physical angels are beings whose basic reality is to create the best possible aspects of physicality where they exist. In the case of ourselves, it would be to restore this planet to its highest levels of being and to restore our solar system likewise to its highest level of being, and to then act as the stewards or guardians of this magnificent restored solar system and use our powers to through ritual and otherwise, to maintain the energies within this particular solar system, which is the home of our star nation.
Right. Now, the Galactic Federation apparently promised a plethora of esoteric devices that are to reorganize our current understanding of our physical and spiritual reality. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, first of all, there are all kinds of devices that, and technologies that the Federation is going to give us. One of them, of course, are these various processor units, which can process just about anything from creating food to clothing to buildings and houses. And then there are others that are designed for the actual metamorphosis process, which we're talking about, the final change, because they'll give us the energy patternings that are required for us to complete moving toward a fully operational 12-strand RNA DNA, which allows us then to change our whole body and develop the fully functional 13 chakra system and become physical angels and by all our rights. And so we have technologies that will help make it easier for us, which are devices that allow us to move from one place to another in a matter of seconds, to other things that can build tall buildings in just a matter of days, to structure that are just our homes, to buildings that can be changed momentarily from whatever we need them to be. In other words, we can have a home that's small to one that's large, because all this is based upon the simple fact that just about all occupied physical space is holographic in nature, and therefore can be changed at will once a general collective of what can be done and can't be done is agreed upon.
Right. I'm glad you said that we will be surprised at the speed at which things will happen, because I think we could be forgiven for thinking that there isn't much time left, that is going up to 2012, and you would be thinking to yourself, how on earth can they get everything done? Now, in that respect of time, I would like to refer to something in one of your earlier messages. You were speaking about the caretaker regime that would be in power in place of the existing government, and you mentioned that that would be in power for no longer than 9 months, during which time the true constitution would be revealed and the judicial system changed from admiralty law to common law. Now,
right.
I've never heard of admiralty law, so what is the difference between the two?
Well, traditionally, admiralty law is also traditionally called king's law. It's law either by the whim of the king in the older days, or else was was made, statute law, was law that was adjudicated by legislatures under the complete agreement of the ruler. So we have two kinds of laws. We have statute or admiralty law, and then which is contract law, basically. And the basic purpose of contract law is to enslave people, to create a system, not so much of rights, but a system that takes away rights and tells you what you can or cannot do. The other law is based upon practice and upon custom and upon the concept of judicial precedence, and so it's an entirely different set of law. It's based upon what is applicable and what is upon the customs of the people that is right, or upon religion or what other factors are a basic aspect of the culture of that particular society. And in all our cases, since you're talking from where it all began in England, it's English common law. So the English common law is there in Canada, it's in Australia, it's here in the U.S., it's there in of course, England,
right,
in the U.K.
Yeah. Okay. Now, from time to time, your messages mention the people of Agartha, and a recent message said they are preparing for the reunion of the surface people and the inner earth peoples to reach its full flowering after the last landings. Now, does that mean that we won't see any of them come to the surface before that time?
Well, they're going to be in the teams that actually are part of the whole first contact procedure. So they'll be there. But what they want to be able to do is, after the landings are done, is to then reopen the systems that were closed by the Illuminoids and the Anunnaki before them, so that they can freely move between the surface and their own inner Earth realms. And so then it'll be possible for us to be reunited with them at a level that they feel is the one they really want, which is the free movement between the surface and the inner Earth worlds. So that's basically what they would like to do after contact. Until then, they have played a very big part in helping the whole process of us moving forward toward first contact. And they also have worked very, very hard with people, because a lot of the teams that have been set up that we've been referring to before between our Earth allies and the Galactic Federation, a lot of the people in that mission are people from the inner Earth realm of Agartha. And Agartha simply is words that simply means inner Earth place.
Yes. Right.
So, now, so they're definitely, yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Mike.
That's all right. No, that is, you carry on. They definitely want.
So they definitely want to have this reunion happen, because they have been waiting for a very long time, ever since the fall, really, of Atlantis, to reunite with people on Earth. So they've been waiting for a very long time, almost 13 millennium, to complete the process of allowing for the surface peoples and the peoples of inner Earth to become one again.
Yes, right. Now, again, in your, I think it was your last message, certainly one within the last month, you mentioned that the Galactic Federation, and I'll use the words in the message, are orchestrating the surrender of the Kabbalists. So what I wondered is, what particular methods are they using to try and get them to surrender? Because at the moment, it seems that the only way we can move them out is through legal reasons.
Well, they're playing with their resources. They're showing them that these aren't as infinite and as easily hidden as they have believed. And the second thing that they are doing is talking to them directly about what the divine plan has said and the inevitability of what's happening. And as they look through their arrogance and see what is happening here, and see that all they're doing is at the best causing a standstill or stalemate that is failing over the long run, then they begin to see the inevitability of this in their own minds, and they're starting little by little to start giving up. That's why large groups of them from time to time in this whole procedure have moved over from where they were in with the dark to a group that now is makes up a large part of the what we like to call our Earth allies.
Now, because we've been on a very positive note, then I've mentioned very little in connection with the Dark Cabal, but there's one thing I must mention, only in the context, because it was a great reassurance to people, I believe. You mentioned that they proposed to cause massive calamities that would kill, and this is an astonishing number, millions of people at the time, and also place in our skies the means to deflect the Galactic Federation's landings by threatening to wipe out the majority of humanity when they actually land. But you went on to say that the Galactic Federation do have effective countermeasures in place, and if necessary, the Galactic Federation will intercede on our behalf and disarm them. Well, I think we need desperately to know that, or everybody does, because of all the threats that they see around them.
Right. Well, we live in a world that if you were to look at it strictly from the concept of this is a 3D reality and I don't see any other aspects that are part of the factors of what this reality is created from, you would be very depressed, very sullen in looking at this, and you would wonder how this whole thing is going to leave, except in a very negative, almost like a Permian extinction kind of procedure. So what you have to do then is understand that there are other factors involved here, and one of the things that they like people to look at is to look in the night sky sometime and just look up in the sky and just see that there are things up there besides stars. You'll see things that are changing colors. You'll see things that are suddenly swaying around opposite to what regular occultation of stars is about, and you'll start noticing that you are not alone. And one of the things that you can do if you really meditate is you will start getting a feeling of these peoples who are in the ships and seeing that they are very positive and for you, and that will start changing bit by bit how you feel about things. That there is another factor involved besides the standard 3D stuff you see every day, and that it is a factor involved with a positive change to how this is all happening. And that's something that I do. I have a new videotape out finally, a new DVD, which is all about restoring sanity and creating our new reality. So that's available also. And then, of course, there's the Galactic Calendar, which I also has just come out because the Galactic New Year just happened last Saturday.
Right. Now, Sheldon, I've got 2 or 3 minutes left of the program because you probably know we have to finish 5 minutes before the hour's up.
Right.
You mentioned your DVD, and perhaps you'd like to tell people how they can obtain one.
Sure. The best way to do this is to go to our website, which is www.paoweb, that's paoweb.com, and just look under products, or just look at the updates, and open the updates, and you'll see where you can order, or else, as I said, the products. And our newest product right now is the Restoring Sanity, which is DV723, and you'll see it the big ads there for it, especially when you go to the update, and just click on the order button, and then you can order it. And of course, there's also the Galactic Calendar, which I was just saying started last Saturday. And if you want to get information about the Galactic Calendar, you can just go to once again where the order form is and PAO products on the website front page, and then you'll be able to go get it. And if you just want to get in contact with us, the best way to do that is to send us an email, which is info@paoweb.com, or you can just call us on our voicemail, which is just that, just a voicemail, which is 808-573-3110. And so that's how you can get a hold of us and how you can do that. And if you want to do it by mail, you'll see the address on the front page of the website, which is simply PAO at our P.O. Box, which is P.O. Box 4975, which is in three words, El Dorado Hills, California, and our zip code here in the U.S. is 95762.
That's great. You've taken me right to the end of the program. I have to thank you so much for coming on. I wish we had more time. There's never a dull moment, I must say, when you're on the program. So thank you very, very much for coming. Like anybody else, I think, who's heard you talk, we all say we must have you on again. So I'll leave you now, Sheldon, and I'll just quickly announce my guest for next week, who is Yana Hollingsworth, who believes her mission is to connect you to your spiritual path and purpose. So that's it. I'm sure you'll enjoy having Sheldon here, and I thank you for being with me. God bless you all. Thanks a lot.